Hello, and welcome to Subverse News Podcast. Today we are going to talk about a range of topics, including federal government opening domestic terror probe into the Garlic Festival shooter, ICE raids conducted against Mississippi food processing plant, Puerto Rico swears in third governor this week, and Mitch McConnell gets locked out of his campaign Twitter for posting a video of a mob outside of his home. Before we get into today's topics, make sure you follow us on Minds at subverse.minds.com, where you can find our articles, exclusive content, and our public newsroom. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. Links are in the podcast description.
The FBI is now investigating the July 28th Gilroy Garlic Festival shooting that left four people dead, including two children and 16 wounded, as a domestic terrorism case. FBI officials revealed that gunman Santino William Ligon, age 19, had a target list. At a news conference, John F. Bennett, special agent in charge with the San Francisco FBI, said the list had religious institutions, federal buildings, courthouses, political organizations, and the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Festival goers describe Ligon as firing somewhat randomly at the crowd. 16 others were injured in the shooting, including Stephen's mother and grandmother, who were at the festival with him. Before the attack, Ligon urged his Instagram followers to read a book popular with white supremacists. In the final caption of the picture to the entrance to Christmas Hill Park, Ligon wrote, "A garlic festival time and come get wasted on overpriced items." Ligon was wearing a bullet-resistant vest when he fired 39 rounds at festival-goers with a legally bought AK-47-style rifle. Officers Eric Cryar, Hugo Del Moral, and Roberto Basuino were patrolling in the vicinity, and after striking Ligon multiple times, he fatally shot himself. Authorities found a 75-round drum magazine for the rifle, retaining 71 rounds. He also had two 40-round magazines, and an additional 40-round magazine was near him, police said. Gilroy Police Department Chief Scott Smithy said a shotgun was discovered in a car that belonged to the suspect. A backpack was found containing two loose rounds for the rifle, a rifle scope, a flashlight, a shovel, and additional ammunition. Authorities said Tuesday they still do not have a motive. According to CNN, police also searched a Nevada home they believed Ligon rented. They seized material that pertained to different competing political ideologies, and authorities have yet to nail down a clear ideology to which Santino Ligon subscribed. Former classmates said he didn't stand out. A Gilroy High School employee described him as a troublemaker who was difficult to manage when he actually showed up for class. Juliessa Contreras, a witness, told CNN that he didn't seem angry as he opened fire on innocent people, and he seemed very well-versed in what he was doing, and he seemed confident in the use of the gun. Ligon's parents wrote in a statement on Tuesday that they were deeply shocked and horrified by what their son had done. "We have never and would never condone the hateful thoughts and ideologies that led to this event, and it is impossible to reconcile this with the son we thought we knew. Our son is gone, and we will forever have unanswered questions as to how or why any of this happened." Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, reported detaining approximately 680 people suspected of being in the country illegally in the single largest statewide worksite enforcement action. Domingo Candelaria and other workers who could show they were in the country legally were allowed to leave the plant after agents searched the trunks of their vehicles. In Morton, 40 miles east of Jackson, Mississippi, workers filled three buses, two for men and one for women, at Koch Foods Inc. plant. Workers had their wrists tied with plastic bands and were told to deposit personal belongings in clear plastic bags. Agents collected the bags before they boarded buses. Mayor William Truly of Canton told the local ABC affiliate that those who were arrested are being processed and they are being given their due process. One woman who said she was a lead worker at Koch Foods plant exclaimed, "That's all of our workers, half of the plant," she said of the detained workers. "I just know it's messed up because we've got to think about the kids and everything. I mean, who's going to get their kids?" Matthew Albence, acting director of ICE, said the children would be sent to live with relatives or with other families, according to the AFP news agency. Some were taken to a local gym by neighbors after coming home from school to find their parents gone. Mississippi is the nation's fifth largest chicken-producing state, and the plant's tough processing jobs have mainly been filled by Latino immigrants eager to take whatever work they can get. Chicken plants dominate the economies of Morton and other small towns east of Jackson. Activists and labor unions have long accused the poultry industry of abusing undocumented workers who can't appeal to the federal government for protection. Based in Park Ridge, Illinois, Koch is one of the largest poultry producers in the United States, with operations in Mississippi and five other states. The execution of federal search warrants today was simply about enforcing the rule of law in our state and throughout our great country, said Michael Hirst, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Mississippi. I commend these federal agents, our state and local law enforcement partners, and our federal prosecutors for their professionalism and dedication to ensure that those who violate our laws are held accountable. We are a nation of laws, and we will remain so by continuing to enforce our laws and ensuring that justice is done, said the U.S. Attorney Hirsch. Ali Nourani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum, an advocacy organization, told the New York Times, "We have officially returned to the era of massive worksite raids. The net result will be immigrant workers pushed further underground, families separated, and local economies decimated. The American worker and their family lose their neighbors, fellow church members, and friends. The American economy loses a workforce that is contributing in more ways than we can imagine," he continued. "And along the way, we are no safer as immigrant communities are pushed further from law enforcement."
On August 7th, Justice Secretary Wanda Vasquez was sworn in as governor of Puerto Rico, making her the third person this week to have occupied the post. Vasquez was sworn in only hours after the U.S. territory's Supreme Court ruled unanimously that it was unconstitutional for former governor Ricardo Rosello to name his successor, Pedro Pierluisi, who was nominated Secretary of State only an hour prior. Puerto Rico's constitution states that the island's Secretary of State is next in line for succession, but the legal dispute came when questions arose about whether or not Pierluisi was the legitimate Secretary of State. Pierluisi spoke before the Supreme Court's ruling, stating, "I wish the Honorable Wanda Vasquez the greatest success as governor of Puerto Rico. I will always be in the best disposition to advance any initiative that seeks to improve the quality of life of our people and to encourage the federal government to fulfill its responsibility to provide the support that Puerto Rico needs for its recovery and reconstruction. It is unconstitutional to allow a Secretary of State to become governor without having been confirmed by both legislative chambers," a Supreme Court press release stated. While Pierluisi was confirmed as secretary by the House of Representatives in Puerto Rico only an hour before taking the oath as governor, the Senate for the island never had the opportunity to vote for the nomination. Former Governor Ricardo Rosello's administration had been at the center of a large controversy surrounding the leak of private chat messages between himself and close advisors. The chat logs, released by Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism, outlined a variety of improprieties, such as profane messages between the governor and 11 men which locals considered to be insensitive, as well as a finely established connection between the governor and special interest groups. The chat logs sparked weeks of protests in the streets of Puerto Rico, and it seems as though the next pick in the line of succession may continue to foster such sentiment. Vasquez is still seen by locals as a loyal inner circle member of Rosello, which prompted protesters to begin to gather in front of the governor's mansion directly after she was sworn in. There are also allegations that she failed to pursue corruption probes against members of her own party, the New Progressive Party. The hashtag WandaRenuncia or WandaResign is already trending on Twitter. After being sworn in at Puerto Rico's Supreme Court in San Juan, Vasquez said, "I arrive at this position by constitutional provision and by opinion of law, but with the greatest respect and determination to serve my people and push Puerto Rico forward. It was with great humility and commitment that I assumed this position to direct the destinies of our country with responsibility and delivery." While a new governor has taken the mantle, there is still uncertainty about the leadership direction among many Puerto Ricans. Chief Justice Maite Rodriguez spoke about the past weeks, saying, "The summer of 2019 will be remembered as an unprecedented moment in which Puerto Ricans of all ages, ideologies, backgrounds, and creeds threw themselves into the street to demand more from their government."
Twitter locked the campaign account of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Wednesday after posting a video of protesters screaming obscenities outside McConnell's Louisville, Kentucky home. The account, @TeamMitch, posted the video on August 6th in a thread that has been since removed by Twitter. Another tweet in the thread says, "These threats go far beyond a political cartoon or a broken shoulder. They are serious calls to physical violence, and we've alerted law enforcement." Kevin Golden, McConnell's campaign manager, told the Courier-Journal, "This morning, Twitter locked our account for posting the video of real-world violent threats made against Mitch McConnell. This is a problem with the speech police in America today. The Lexington Herald leader can attack Mitch with cartoon tombstones of his opponents, but we can't mock it. Twitter will allow the words of Massacre Mitch to trend nationally on their platform, but locks our account for posting actual threats against us." Golden added, "We appealed and Twitter stood by their decision, saying our account will remain locked until we delete the video." According to the New York Post, about 20 to 30 gun control supporters demonstrating outside McConnell's home shouted things like, "Murder Turtle." Chanel Helm, Black Lives Matter Louisville leader, said that McConnell should have broke his little raggedy, wrinkled-ass neck, referring to the fact that McConnell is currently recovering from a fractured shoulder after tripping and falling at his Kentucky home on August 4th. Louisville Metro Police confirmed that the group was outside the senator's residence, telling the New York Post they were protesting peacefully. However, the department was unaware of the threats being made on the two-hour Facebook Live video. The protest outside his house lasted about 2 hours. Louisville Metro Police spokesman Dwight Mitchell said there were no arrests. Twitter spokesperson Katie Rossborough said the user was temporarily locked out of their account for a tweet that violated our violent threats policy, specifically threats involving physical safety. Twitter's policy states that users may not threaten violence against an individual or a group of people, and that the social network prohibits the glorification of violence. McConnell's campaign posted the video Tuesday morning after his campaign traded jabs with freshman Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who slammed McConnell after young supporters of his were pictured groping and choking a life-size cardboard cutout of her. The incident drew Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's attention as he got into an argument with Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher. Bevin wrote on Twitter, "Seriously, @LouisvilleMayor, stop embarrassing the city of Louisville and the Commonwealth of Kentucky by allowing this public disorder. Would you stand for this on your street? Doubt it. We deserve better leadership in Louisville, Kentucky government." Fisher responded, tweeting, "Seriously, @Governor Matt Bevin? In America, we allow for peaceful assembly and freedom of speech. Sorry if that embarrasses you. Let's get to work to stop the tragic loss of so many lives in our country due to gun violence." While Bevin and Fisher were going at it Tuesday morning on Twitter, McConnell's spokeswoman Stephanie Penn issued a statement for the senator. "Liberal activists like the Democratic Socialists of Louisville know how to try to create good street theater. And as an avid supporter of the First Amendment, Senator Mitch McConnell believes that all citizens have the right to express their opinions peacefully." The statement said, "I hope Senator McConnell's neighbors weren't too inconvenienced."
Thanks for listening. If you want to find more content, head over to subverse.minds.com to find articles, videos, and join our public newsroom, where you can discuss topics and ideas as well as share articles. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium, where we regularly post our content and receive feedback from our valued listeners like you. Our videos and articles can now be found on... If you'd like to support our work, you can donate to our Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon. You can also get Subverse gear at our Teespring shop. All the links are in the description. Stay tuned for more content every weekday, and we'll see you next time.